prompted you to take a new look at how you could share the grace of God with others, please let us know. There's a lot more to preaching compelling sermons than just composing them. Tomorrow, we'll hear where effective ministry really begins. I hope you'll join us Friday to learn more about Spirit-anointed preaching on In Touch with Dr. Charles Stanley. This program is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia, and remains on this station through the grace of God and your faithful prayers and gifts.
Calling Christians to worship and the study of God's Word. This is today's Modern Worship on WMIE FM 91.5.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Thursday morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I pastor Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. We are coming up on our five-year anniversary of the Refresh Radio program here in just a couple of weeks. And so we are first of all, surprised about that. Second, we're excited about that. And allow me to take just a moment to say congratulations to New Life Christian Center, New Life Christian Fellowship, whatever. I just know it as New Life up in Titusville with Pastor Larry Linkus this last weekend. They were celebrating their 35th anniversary, and I think it was 50 years in the ministry and 50 years of being married. I think that's the right breakdown of that. But anyway, we say congratulations to them on that milestone and their ministry, which has impacted a lot of people across the community, across Brevard County. Their radio program reaches a lot of people as well. And so congratulations to them. So 5 years coming up the last week here in October. While I was in Oklahoma, my mother asked me, said, "How did you get into doing radio?" And, you know, there's an old line that says, well, I have a face for radio. But actually, I got into doing the radio program because one of the ladies affiliated with the radio station heard me do a funeral. And it was a lady in our church. And when they had an opening that came up, they contacted me. And so I went to our board and asked them what they thought about it. And we sensed that it was God's will for us. Now let me explain to you. When we sense that it was God's will for us, and that's what we're talking about, is discerning God's will and living God's will in our life, we did not base it on an economic decision. We based it on an obedience decision. It wasn't something that I needed for my self-esteem. It wasn't something that we needed to find some place to spend money out of the budget. The money wasn't in the budget. That's not the way we evaluate our decisions. Our decisions are not based on finances. They are based on faith. And a friend of mine contacted me earlier this week, and he was talking to his life coach or pastor, I forget. I think it was a pastor. And he was going to be presenting him what he believed God's plan for his life was over the next several weeks. And when he posted when he posted that, I believe that presentation's already happened. He put up a picture, and I think it's a picture of something that he wrote, and it said something like, and I don't have my phone here right in front of me, so if I get this wrong, I apologize, Carl. But he said, God will never build your faith while we're living in our comfort zone. Something along those lines, that God builds us into our faith. He builds our character when he moves us into the will of God. And we like to get to a place where we're comfortable. God is looking to get us to a place where we're wholly in compliance with his will. So, I encourage you, as you are pursuing the will of God in your life, don't be limiting God just because you don't see how everything is all going to work together. I remember a time in my life where I looked at the situation and I said, God, I don't see how you're going to get us out of this. From there, I looked at the situation again and said, God, I don't see how you're getting us through this situation. And then I looked at it in the rearview mirror and I said, God, I don't see how you got us through that situation. Three different stages. One was going into, one was during, and one was in the rearview mirror. And I still didn't understand exactly how God got us through those situations. And that was a time where we had taken a financial setback. Most of the times that I have had to step out in faith with God have required that there be a financial sacrifice that came along with that. It wasn't because the money was there. It was because the money wasn't there. But I believe in a God who has greater potential. There was a time in my life where I was somewhat apprehensive about a supervisor that I had. It was not my store manager. He's the one who hired me. He valued my work ethic and my area of expertise in shoes. It was his boss, and he was coming, and I said, God, I could be unemployed by the end of the day, and now I've got a wife and two kids, not just a wife and one kid. Now I've got a wife and two kids. And I was basically making $7.50 an hour, or $7 an hour, not even $7.50. And he said, Well, how much do you make? And I said, Well, $7 an hour. And he said, Well, do you think that I could possibly give you a job making $7 an hour? And I remember the faith that arose up, and I said, God, I believe that you can. And all of a sudden the power of fear and intimidation was broken. So don't try and determine the will of God from a financial standpoint. Don't try and determine the will of God from a comfort standpoint. God will call you out of your comfort zone to get you to the place that he wants you in your will. So one of the discussions that takes place in church circles is trying to determine the sovereignty of God and the will of God versus the will of man. The first part that we talked about in Matthew chapter 6 about thy kingdom come, we talked about two different kingdoms. There's the kingdom of God and there's the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom that Satan has. And so there's a struggle there. That's pretty much a spiritual struggle. But then he says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done, O God. And now we're talking about a conflict, not between Satan and God, but between our will and God's will. This is not just a spiritual decision. This is a will decision. This is I will do this or I will not do that. If you say you can't do something, then you will not be able to do it. If you believe that God has called you to do something and you can accomplish what God has called you to accomplish, because greater is he that is within you than he that is within the world, then all of a sudden you are going to find that you are going to see a great deal more success. People who accomplish great things are never at the mercy of people who say it can't be done. Some of the greatest things that I have ever seen accomplished in my life happened when there were people who were saying it could never be done. And others that said, you know what? If God's birthed this in my heart, I believe that it can be done. So we're going to talk a little bit about the sovereignty of God and the free will of man. There are some people that say, well, you know what? It's the will of God. It's going to be done. And, you know, there's just nothing that we can do about it. I don't think that's going to stand up under the weight of God's word. You see, God created us with a free will. He absolutely created us with a free will. And so we have to decide whether or not we are going to comply with God's will or whether we're not going to comply with God's will. And, you know, if I gave someone just carte blanche, gave them a just free rein to make a decision, and then they made a decision, and then I came back and said, well, I don't like that decision, you know, that there would have been a breakdown in communication there. God is telling us what his will is, but he says, it's your choice. You can choose this or you can choose that. And I will tell you from life experience that when God says choose this, you want to choose this. When he says you can choose that over there, you don't want to choose the lesser option. You want to choose to do the will of God. So let me take you to a passage here real quick, and that is in Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. And I'm a-turning. Verse number 29. And when all the people heard him, even the tax collectors justified God, having been baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the will of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him. Now, before I make all my comments about that, I want to take you to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. And verse number 8. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Okay? So it is the will of God that nobody perish, nobody end up in an eternity in hell. And yet Jesus says that there was a rich man who died at the same time that a poor man named Lazarus died, and the rich man ended up in hell and the poor man ended up in Abraham's bosom. That's a description of heaven. Now, first thing I will tell you is it wasn't because he was rich that he ended up in hell, and it wasn't because Lazarus was poor that he ended up in heaven. That's not the way it works. Heaven and hell are not determined by your bank account. They're determined by your relationship with Jesus. And Jesus came to pay for the sin of the world. So I, you know, yesterday we talked about the revealed versus the specific. And I want to point out to you right here and now that God does not want anybody going to an eternity without him. He wants everyone spending eternity in heaven. And there are some that have taken that truth that I just shared with you and said, well, that just means that everybody is going to end up in heaven because God doesn't want anybody to perish. But that fails to take into consideration that God created man not as a robot, not as someone void of choice-making decisions. He created us with a free will because he wants us to choose to be with him forever. It's the will of God that we choose to be the sons of God. So, very much the will of God that none perish, but all come to everlasting life. But very much a reality that not everybody makes the choice of what is the will of God. And so let me take you over to John chapter 5. So I can show this to you again. John chapter 5. And let me begin reading in verse number 31. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. You have sent to John. He has borne witness to the truth. Yet I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. He was the burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than John's, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form, but you do not have his word abiding in you because whom he sent him you do not believe. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. So in Luke chapter 7, where we were talking about, it was talking about the Pharisees and the lawyers, though there were many people who were coming and accepting the will of God, it said they rejected the will of God for themselves. It was their choice. Now, I don't know about you, but when God says he wants me to be saved, I don't want to reject that when eternal death is the alternative. I don't want to reject truth whenever deception is the only alternative left. You know, and choices are very important. We have to choose to do the will of God. We either choose to do it or we choose to reject the will of God. But the choice is ours. The consequences or the benefits are also ours. The responsibility for those choices are therefore ours. We don't get to blame someone else for our choices. A lot of people do not like to embrace the choices or the responsibility for the choices they make. They want to blame other people. So if I still could use a afford to lose a few pounds, I can. It's because of my choices, not because of someone else's choices. Choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. That was Joshua chapter 24. And so there's the will of God, and there's the human element of choice. So we need to make sure that we are not rejecting the will of God due to peer pressure. We're not rejecting the will of God because it just doesn't sit well with us. We're not going to reject the will of God because it creates just some sort of social. I tell you what, most people's lives that I know could use a little bit of spiritual upheaval going on in their life, because we need to turn right things right side up instead of upside down. Things have already flipped on their head. The Bible talks about there would come a day when people would call good evil, we're there, and evil good, and we are there. We need a spiritual revival in America. We need some people choosing to do the will of God and say, you know what, I'm not going to reject the will of God for myself. Now, I will also tell you this. When I reject the will of God for myself, for me, that means my church suffers. That means my wife suffers. That means my children suffer. That means my grandchildren suffer. There is a wide range of collateral damage that is done whenever a single individual rejects the will of God. Achan rejected the will of God, and it cost 36 people their life in a battle. And then it brought devastation to his household. There was Korah and Dothan, and they rebelled against the will of God. There was Miriam and Aaron, and they complained about the will of God. We don't need to be complaining about the will of God. When you understand that God is for you, that means that when you don't understand the circumstances, that there's something great that is coming your way anyway. So let me take you back to John chapter 5. And this describes something similar. This is not for the Pharisees, but this is Jesus speaking to a group of people who had chosen, it says in verse number 35, they were willing for a time to rejoice in the light of John the Baptist. But then you get down to verse number, let's see, you have neither. But verse number 40, it says, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. Okay? In the medical community, there is a term that is used, and it's called noncompliance, where they have given some instructions and the patient doesn't follow their instructions, and therefore they are deemed noncompliant. That's not a good thing. That's not a good thing. So several years ago, I don't even remember how many years ago it was, I had a detached retina. And I didn't realize it. I didn't know what a detached retina was. Didn't know that a retina could detach. I was completely ignorant of the possibilities. And my wife was having some things done at the time, and one Saturday night before church, the retina popped. Didn't know it. Just felt a little twinge of pain, very little, very minor. Was about a half on the scale of 1 to 10. It didn't amount to much. And the next morning, in all honesty, I thought I was seeing the end of my nose, and I was seeing the retina had recoiled over my eye and I couldn't see out of that eye. And so I went ahead and preached Sunday morning and Sunday night. I took my wife to a medical thing on Monday, drove her there, and said, you know what? I think I need to get this checked out. And so she made me a doctor's appointment, and I went to that doctor. She told me I had a detached retina, sent me to a retinal specialist, and that person said, do you want to see? Well, yes, I want to see. And in a very straightforward manner, she said, this is what we are going to do. Now, you can either do what I tell you, or you can fail to do what I'm telling you. The choice is yours. And so I had a follow-up appointment the next day. And it was in a different office. And I was told that I was to keep my head flat. And so when we got to the waiting room, I had kept my head flat all night. I had kept my head flat while we were driving. I wasn't driving that day. And when we got to the waiting room, I knelt down on the floor and I put my head on the chair, and I was compliant. About that time, the doctor walked around the corner and she asked my wife, said, what is he doing? And my wife said, you told him to keep his head flat. He's keeping his head flat. And so she moved me into a room, and it wasn't just that one process. There was a lot of processes that went in, and I decided that this was the expert. I was not the expert, and I needed to comply with what she said. I want to encourage you today to choose Jesus, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. He's the specialist. I'm not. You're not. You might think there's a better way. You might think that you know better. You might choose to reject the will of God. But I'm here to tell you that the only way to the Father is Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. The only way to experience heaven is to say, you know what, Jesus, I am willing to come to you. That's the will of God. Jesus doesn't want anybody perishing for eternity. He wants people living eternal life, and we have to come to Jesus. Today, maybe you've had a lifetime of making bad choices. Today, I want to encourage you to make a godly choice. Choose Jesus. Choose to ask him to forgive you of your sins. Choose to let him not only be your Savior, but to be the Lord of your life. Choose to come to him. It's the best choice you'll ever make. By the way, choosing to comply with that ophthalmologist, I can see very well today. Choose Jesus, and you'll live very well. See you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.